am not going to accuse a woman of trying to murder her own husband based simply on some paranoid theory.
It's the only explanation. We've eliminated every other possibility.
We have not eliminated every other possibility.
Has he responded to the latest lupus treatment?
He's only been on it for a few hours.
He hasn't responded because it's not lupus.
You're listening to However Improbable, a Sherlock Holmes book club that narrates and discusses Arthur Conan Doyle's classic tales. I'm Sarah Kolb.
And I'm Marissa Mercurio. This week, we have a bit of a problem. We decided that this podcast had a responsibility to consider all kinds of adaptations of Sherlock Holmes, including one that is disguised as a TV medical drama, like House MD. The problem is, neither of us could really remember the last time we actually watched an episode of House.
Now, that might deter some podcasters and might inspire others to actually, you know, sit down and watch 8 seasons of Hugh Laurie shouting about lupus. But not us. We're talking about House today, and we've invited Twitter's greatest House MD fan, Sarah Golub, to give us a hand.
Sarah recommended a few key episodes that she thinks summarize how House is a Holmes adaptation. And so armed with that very limited knowledge, we sat down to talk about it.
First, though, a little background if you weren't somewhere near the internet between 2004 and 2012 and don't know anything about this show. House MD was an American medical drama that ran on Fox for 8 seasons. It starred Hugh Laurie as the titular character Gregory House, an untraditional, misanthropic medical genius who clashed with his medical team, his boss Dr. Cuddy, and his own dependence on pain medication to diagnose his patients through essentially the art of deduction. House's only true friend in the show is Dr. James Wilson, played by Robert Sean Leonard. Sound familiar?
The series was a CSI-style medical detective show or a hospital whodunit, and the idea evolved over time to be focused less on the procedure of deduction and more on the main character. It was the most-watched TV show in the world in 2008 and received a pile of awards, including 5 Emmys, 2 Golden Globes, a Peabody, and 9 People's Choice Awards.
So, without any further ado, we're so happy to welcome Sarah to the show. Sarah is a writer and comedian in LA. She writes sketch comedy, and her work has appeared in Paste Magazine, Vox, and Them. She's a writer and co-creator of the scripted mystery podcast Arden, and also co-hosts the nonfiction history comedy podcast Historical Hookups. Classically, we're here to get her to talk about Hugh Laurie's vocal fry.
Thank you, Sarah, for coming on. We're so excited to talk about this show that we know next to nothing about.
That in itself is so fascinating because House was, it's like always on TV, like 24/7. It's just somewhere on TV.
Yeah, well, maybe we should start there with how we've each been introduced to the show, our familiarity with it, when we started watching it, to what extent we've started watching it. Because for our regular hosts here, it is significantly less than you, I would say, Sarah.
Yeah, I feel like we've invited Twitter's greatest House MD fan to join us on the to essentially give us homework on House so we can get up to speed to talk about it like adults should be able to talk about one of the most popular medical dramas of all time. But that's neither here nor there. Marissa, why don't you go first? What do you know about House?
Yeah.
If anything.
I had a moment of like just epiphany last night when I was watching episode 217, Sarah, you recommended that I watch. I remembered that I had in undergrad a couple of friends who were devoted to House. And this is while the show was still airing. And we would go down into the common room like every Thursday or something or whenever it was airing and watch the show. But I wasn't really watching it. I just sort of like existed in the room while they were watching it. So I did absorb it to some degree in periphery, but I have never really like sat down and watched it until last night.
I think that's like how House was designed to be consumed. And I think that that's the common cultural experience of House. It was for 8 years ever present just in the background of society. It's like SNL where it's like maybe you never sit down and watch an episode of SNL, but like you're like, aware of it.
You know of it.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm really excited to talk about the episode that I think we both watched this episode that you suggested because it was just perfectly encapsulative of what I picture House to be.
Yeah, so my experience, I think very much similarly, I think it was a show like CSI or a lot of those other crime dramas was always kind of just like on television. But I personally am very, very squeamish about hospitals and surgery and medical stuff. And so for that reason, I have always kind of avoided it. With some of the episodes you recommended, I had a hard time watching for this reason, because I,
oh no,
I barf. But I will say, because I am a stereotype and this is who I was, the thing that I knew about House is that there was a bisexual doctor played by Olivia Wilde.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that I'm
correct. No, and that's the most important thing about the series.
That was correct. But that was it. Like, if you would have told me, it's like Hugh Laurie Shore and bisexual doctor played by Olivia Wilde. That's all. That's how I absorb my pop culture knowledge in a broad scale, which is not particularly useful. But there you are.
No, those are the two most important points I want to make.
Good, good. So, Sarah, did you start watching House from the beginning?
About. I didn't watch season one. I believe it conflicted with Veronica Mars, but I priorities. Might have also just not been very won over by the Fox ads at the time. I saw an episode of season two, early in season two, and I was like, this is incredible. And I got really into it, and my friends got really into it. Me and my friends in high school, we did house parties, and the joke was that we were all too nerdy to do a house party, but we did get together and watch cute. House MD DVDs. But it was like a very social thing, which was great, to like something that was like really popular at the time. Maybe not in season one, but since season two aired for the rest of my life, it's been one of my favorite shows. I think largely because it was on for so long and it got to me so early that, you know, like it really, it saw me through growing up. It saw me, I watched it in high school, watched it in college, watched it for city I moved after college. You know, it really just covered so much of my life. And I recently, this is how I earn my title of House MD expert, is I have recently completed an entire series rewatch.
That's impressive.
Which I've live tweeted on Twitter.
Because it's 8 seasons, right?
It is 177 episodes.
Whew. I mean,
of which I applause. Only skipped one.
Ooh, what's this?
There's
one
going
you skipped?
To be some deaths. There's going to be some there deaths. I don't have to tell you.
There's gotta be one. Usually there's like a season, so that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, I was impressed by the consistent quality of the series. Mm-hmm. I had remembered there being some real dips, and I think really the issue is much more that when you are watching something over 8 years, the novelty wears off, and you kind of hit some, like, this is just not doing it for me anymore things. But yeah, I'm just like a binge watching through, being like, this is the episode I'm watching tonight. Pretty consistent, actually.
That's impressive.
Very impressive, yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Because we're not on just a general television podcast, we're on a Sherlock Holmes podcast. Yes. That's really what I want to focus on. And I'm really interested in your perspective on, like, is House a Holmes adaptation? I think that's the question that I kind of want to wrestle with. Is it really? Does that matter if it is really? And when we do these case files like this, I think we try to answer, is an adaptation, like, what is it trying to do? And is it doing a good job? And is it doing a good job of adapting the source material? And does that matter at all? So maybe we can talk a little bit about, before we talk about the specifics of the episodes, just like how it's homaging the Holmes canon and what those references are. Because I feel like there are lots of Easter eggs.
Right.
All over the show.
Well, and I think that maybe you and I should talk a little bit about the basics of what we know, because it's so little. And Sarah can like challenge us with maybe like some further knowledge, but I think our bar is like on the floor. So because we really don't know anything about the show.
Yeah, so try to summarize House really fast.
No, why don't you and I try to like take a shot here.
I mean, so there's a doctor played by Hugh Laurie named Gregory House who works
Holmes.
In Holmes.
Important.
Yes. Both, and then his like only friend is Dr. Wilson, who's an oncologist.
Who is Watson.
Who's Watson. And Lisa Edelstein is there being beautiful.
Yes.
She's his boss.
And House, I know, has issues with addiction.
Yeah. He's like,
which I assume
abuses
is
pain
Holmesian
medication.
Based.
He lives at 221B Baker Street. That's his address. In Princeton. And this takes place in New Jersey.
Yes.
Which is a Holmes reference because New Jersey is in
the Holmes canon too. Speaking of which, is, what's her name? Cuddy? Is that how you say it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Cuddy.
Is she like Irene Adler-esque in your eyes, or is she a completely new invention?
In the sense of like the way people adapt homes where there's a romantic element there, and Irene Adler is the woman. Cuddy is definitely the woman singular of mm-hmm. House's life. But in terms of actually adapting the canon, James Wilson is Irene Adler, which is a joke of the show. Cuddy is much more of a Lestrade. She's much more of the Scotland Yard person that they go to. She's the authority. And so when House wants to do a dangerous procedure, he will have to go to Cuddy and get her permission. And she is the one who's like, here is what I can do to give you permission to do that legally.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the first patient in the show, her name is Rebecca Adler.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like a clever little thing where, you know, the frustration of Irene Adler adaptations is always like, they will try to have a modern adaptation where the Holmes character is like, did you know that women are people? And it's like, you cannot do that after 1980. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, that's a deranged thing to have a man learn now. And I know that there are real men who learn that, but like for Holmes, for the protagonist, for him to be like, I've just realized. Mm-hmm. And so I think something that House MD does that's very clever is instead of her representing women, she represents patients, and it's House learning the value of talking to a patient. And he doesn't ever really learn to respect patients, but he does have a conversation with her that makes him be like, I need to treat you better. And I think that that's, you know, maybe an argument for why that's the first episode or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely loosey-goosey, but I prefer that read as like not making it about weird sexism.
Yeah, no, I buy it.
Yeah. And then the other Irene Adler joke that the series does is House, to stir up drama, he gets a Christmas gift and he pretends that he like doesn't want to look at it, and he's like, I don't, that's a, it's too too dramatic, too emotional. And everyone's like, oh, House must have some sort of secret admirer crush or some huge drama. And they go to Wilson and ask about it, and Wilson tells them this whole ridiculous story about like Irene Adler, the one who got away, and you know, it was too soon after this, and House has always regretted how things have turned out. And then they're like, wow, really? And he's like, no, that I gave him that gift, that was for me. I don't know why he's being so weird about it.
Oh my god.
But Wilson, canonically an Irene Adler adaptation. He's from New Jersey. It fits.
Great.
Wonderful.
They well, just do not hear. They do not bait you like that on television anymore. And I kind of miss that. Yeah, I think
that's what really sets House apart is no one was doing queer baiting quite like House MD. It was them and Supernatural. They really blazed a trail. And I just don't think that anyone's playing on that level anymore.
No.
I don't think they should, but I no. that doesn't change the fact that they're not.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of admirable.
So do you conceive of House as more of a Holmes homage, or do you think it's trying to be an adaptation? Or are those, like, arbitrary terms?
No, that's... I'm not quite sure what I would classify it as, because House MD and the Holmes canon are kind of inseparably linked. It's like the Venn diagram doesn't overlap that much, but like you couldn't pull those rings apart if you wanted to. Like in terms of where it fits in the House in the Holmes, I'm gonna make that mistake a thousand times. In terms of where it fits in the Holmes adaptation pastiche world, I think that you can draw a very, very clear line between House MD and the Robert Downey Jr. Holmes movies and
okay.
Sherlock, and then from there to Elementary. In fact, I think of Elementary more as a House adaptation than a Holmes adaptation, because there are some writers that moved along with the show.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they make similar adaptation choices in weird ways, like in House, Watson, instead of having an alcoholic brother, has a homeless schizophrenic brother, and then Joan Watson in Elementary has a homeless schizophrenic father, and it's one of those things where you're like, and like in House hallucinates a woman who died when he is going through, when he's taken too much Vicodin and it's starting affecting his mind. And in Elementary, Holmes hallucinates
his mother,
a dead woman. Yeah. When he gets his concussions, and it's just like a bunch of little things where I'm like, it feels almost like House deeply is informing the show. And then I think also like with Robert Downey Jr. being scruffy, I feel like that wouldn't really have been the direction if House didn't exist. So I think it's definitely a key link in the chain for Holmes adaptations. And then I think that being a Holmes adaptation is what sets House apart. You know, the deductions definitely set it apart from other medical mysteries. His approach to that and being, you know, like, there are lots of tortured geniuses. But I also think that, like, the reason why House is different than those other tortured genius anti-hero characters, which... while House wasn't the only or first one of that, like, definitely was a huge influence because the show was so popular and we got so many other characters like House and so many knockoffs.
Yeah.
But
$5 houses.
Yeah.
To follow.
But the House and Wilson relationship is the core of the series and something that just doesn't really exist in other shows in that way. And something that I think only exists in House because it's a Holmes adaptation. Yeah. Like, lots of shows will have, you know, the protagonist have somebody else that they work with, but like, House and Wilson don't actually work together. They work next to each other. Like, they don't actually work on the same cases, except for like extreme circumstances. And Wilson isn't his boss or an employee. Like, part of the what is great about that relationship is that they don't have a power dynamic between them. And that's something that just doesn't make sense to put in other shows because you're like, why would that character exist if they're not serving a function? But he sure is there in House. And I think that that's something that is only part of Holmes. And I think it's also what makes the show so special. So,
yeah. You know, when I was watching the show, I was thinking a little, well, I think the scenes where it's like House and his whiteboard and his like medical assistant doctors or whatever they are. And they're like spitballing theories and they cross stuff off. Like that feels like crime television to me.
That's absolutely
the way deduction. That that stuff plays out, which I thought was great. Yes. I mean, it's really exciting to watch and I think it's really well put together and it helps, you know, characters saying a lot of complicated medical terms feel more dramatic.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
Also.
But that sort of like bouncing ideas about the case specifically, which sometimes is the like Watson character role that's happening with these other characters, but Wilson is clearly, he keeps like popping up to provide emotional support even if House doesn't really want it or it's kind of begrudging in a way that obviously Watsons of all kinds do for Holmes, and that's where I really see it playing out. And obviously it's like he's as a character needs that. He's like House's one friend, so
yeah, and I think it emotionally anchors the show as well, because if it were just the whiteboard genius bouncing off ideas off of his, you know, I don't know, subordinates, that would be fun, but I think it would lag at a certain point where you're like, I get it, whereas if you get to go between that and this like interesting tension between him and Wilson, then that's a lot more gripping.
Yeah, it makes him less of an untouchable character the same way that ripoffs of Sherlock Holmes, I feel often are kind of hard to get a handle on because they don't have that really close relationship with somebody else who can show you like the human side of them.
And I would love to hear more about, because I know so little about this show, about that relationship between House and Wilson. For example, where are they when they meet? Do they meet each other in the show or are they friends already from the beginning? And how is that relationship developed throughout the series?
Yes, I would love to talk about this. Okay, so this show is real loosey-goosey with timelines, which in itself could be another Conan Doyle reference. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very Conan Doyle. Yeah.
Not canon accurate if you don't forget your character's names in the middle of an episode.
Yeah. I mean, something I also like to think is a little Holmes reference, is that it's James Wilson, because that's one of Dr. So Watson's funny. Possible that's names. So some context for Dr. Wilson, for anyone who also hasn't watched all of House. This is also something that I think is a Holmes joke on the canon, is Wilson has three ex-wives. He gets divorced in season 2, so he starts the show on his third wife, and then that marriage dissolves, and I think that that is probably and likely a joke on scholars disagreeing about the number of wives Watson has, yeah. Right, coming in and wives. Disappearing.
Yes.
So there is an episode in season 5, Birthmarks, highly recommend it, where we learn about how House and Wilson met, and Wilson got married young in med school. They only lasted like 2 years, and he was at a medical conference carrying around his like divorce papers and not wanting to deal with them. He's all emotionally distraught. He gets into a bar fight, which is a misunderstanding. And House, who has noticed this guy theoretically because he's seems sad, but most likely because he looked like 1990s Robert Sean Leonard, and who wouldn't follow such a man around?
Would also notice for sure.
Relatable.
House sees him get arrested, bails him out, and they just like hang out for the rest of the weekend. And Wilson is like, yeah, you just seem like you were bored. And House says one of the most romantic things in the world, which is there are 3,000 people at that convention and you're the only one I thought was interesting. That says something.
Wow.
Oh.
Good start.
That's a very X-Files line.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to be said about. We could do a whole episode just about these, like, dynamic duos, which I think we will.
Yeah, we've talked
about in the future. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
But, when you were saying, Sarah, about how Wilson sort of humanizes.
Uses his human capital. We're back at that again.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, David, it's the David Duchovny of it all.
Get out of my life, David Duchovny. David Duchovny, why won't you love me?
So, a few years later, they stay friends. We don't hear much about that time in between, besides the fact that Wilson gets married again. and that House manages to sabotage that relationship from probably another state even. but eventually Wilson takes a job at the same hospital as House. And I'm not sure if this came up in one of the episodes. I think actually this comes up in 2 of the episodes I recommended. Mm. Audience, I recommended the episodes Autopsy, Clueless, and All In. I'm not sure if you watched which ones of those you watched, but in 2 of those, you can see that they have an adjoining balcony, which is incredible. That you almost wonder if the hospital built that for the 2 of them, like if House insisted on it, but they have an adjoining balcony.
Amazing.
A very strange thing for a medical doctor's staff.
That's incredible. I would like my best friend balcony, please. That's what I'm requesting.
Yeah, so House just always goes over there when he needs to talk through a case or needs to talk through a personal problem, and this is another Holmesian adaptation. I do think House really stands on its own without you needing to know anything about Sherlock Holmes, because people to this day, I will reference they are related and they will then be like, House Holmes, oh my, like it's still news to people because it's so loose. But Wilson in the show, they really, really run with the idea of the conductor of light. Quote.
And I think we especially want to talk about that because that was really noticeable in the episodes that you recommended.
Yeah. So particularly it's like half the of episode the time the he game. Talks to Wilson about it. There are scenes later where when Wilson is annoyed with House, Wilson won't engage in conversation because he knows that House needs him to in order to have an idea.
Amazing.
Like, they are both very self-aware of this fact. There's also a scene where they're having, like, an argument and House has an idea and Wilson goes, if you are faking this to get out of this conversation.
Seems to be a theme. Yeah, so the episode with the poker game, which I think is episode 17 of season 2.
Which is the one that I watched.
Yeah, so I watched all three. I did skip a lot of the scenes of child surgery in episode 2 because, again,
yeah, I accidentally gave you a lot of bad kid episodes. It is funny, though. I got my mom into house because she was studying to be a nurse. And so she was, like, desperate to watch any show that had surgery scenes so that she could get used to it.
Oh, wow. Cool. We were talking last night because I was like, it's funny that I haven't, like, gotten into this show. And maybe I will in the future because I just haven't been exposed to it very much because I love anything that's to do with, like, weird medical science stuff. I don't watch medical dramas, but I love all the elements that are being combined into House, which are like Victorian pastiche essentially, and like gross medical drama or just like gross medical history. Even though I don't watch like hospital shows, like I've never watched Grey's Anatomy and never really watched Scrubs or any of these things, but I think there's something, like you said, Sarah, that sets House apart and is almost more like watching Elementary or I haven't seen CSI either, but like in that vein than it is similar to something like Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I believe it was even like pitched to the network as a crime show, and then they were like, we'll just eventually tell them it's in a hospital.
Yeah. Well, I think I was reading a little bit about its background, and it sounds like its conception really early on was like a hospital whodunit is how they're describing it. Yeah. It was really much more about the procedure than it was about the main character, and it sort of pivoted in development. But I think that that certainly very much comes through.
Yeah, and you can still really see that. I mean, they even refer to all these different incidents as cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whiteboard is essentially deduction. I mean, it couldn't be more deductive than it is.
And they even say deduction, in the, like, that's what they call it. And it very much is framed, like it's a crime procedural.
Yeah. Well, and what I think is really clever about this, before I circle back around to my point about being a conundrum, which I will get to, is, of course, Holmes, the fictional character himself, is based off of a real-life doctor.
Yeah.
Doyle.
And written by a doctor.
Doyle, you know, went to medical school. Holmes was inspired by, I think his name's Joseph Bell, right?
Yes.
So there is, it's very meta and kind of satisfying to have a doctor inspired by a detective who was inspired by a doctor. Like, you know, I think you see that through thread in a way that delights me.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like a roundabout adaptation of Joseph Bell. So it's almost like a roundabout, like, we're going to do a show about the real life guy who inspired Sherlock Holmes, but also it's not really because it's modern.
Yeah.
And also, like, screw anything that has to do with, like, Joseph Bell's personal life.
Yeah,
I mean, we're just going to focus on the fact that he's a doctor.
Yeah. Which, actually, that fits even better than I realized, because part of how House gets away with so much stuff is it's Prince and Plainsboro Teaching Hospital. And he has those fellows. And so he is actually supposed to be teaching stuff, which is how Doyle knows Dr. Bell. Something that, like, I realized... It makes a lot of sense to adapt Sherlock Holmes into a medical procedural. One, so that you can actually explain why a doctor is hanging out with him 24/7. But now that, you know, surgeons don't usually go to crime scenes as much.
Yeah.
But because Doyle was a doctor, like, medical mysteries were a really big part of the original stories. I have a list here, Blanche Soldier. Medical mystery.
True.
Creeping Man, a medical mystery.
True.
Dying Detective.
Devil's Foot is about, you know, chemical experiments, messing with the mind. Speckled Band, similarly, some gaslighting, some poison. Dying Detective, a medical mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Missing Three Quarter and Resident Patient are about patients. Engineer's Thumb comes in through a surgery. Doyle goes to that well a lot, which makes sense because it's something he knew about.
Totally.
But you can connect the dots on why this makes sense here.
And yeah, Holmes absolutely. And Watson meet in the basement of a hospital.
Exactly.
Well, we should circle back around to your point about
conductive.
Yes. Conductors. So when watching episode 17, which I thought was a really good episode of TV just on its own face, but what I was really kind of knocked dead. It's like the last 5 minutes and House is afraid of losing this little kid who has a similar disease to a woman who had died 12 years ago, and he's wrought with guilt. I think there was a nice throwback about, like, Holmes's cold cases, too.
Yeah, and also the patient's last name is Doyle. They is Doyle.
In case you didn't notice this. In case
this, you didn't know. Yeah.
This is a Holmes adaptation.
We have read The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. But he's, like, brooding on the balcony, and Wilson comes out in a sort of, like, what do you need? And Holmes, or House goes, I can't talk about this right now. And then Wilson tells this anecdote about winning this poker tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it inspires House to realize what the real situation is with this kid. And they save the kid and yay, everything's great. But that moment of just, like, here he is. And he's just, like, enthusiastic and kind of drunk and telling this story. And House is listening to him talk about something unrelated and goes, got it. Is, like, that's the Holmes and Watson dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right there. Like, and that, it was really cool to see it in a totally different context.
Yeah, exactly. I know I said, like, what's funny about Wilson is, like, it almost is like he doesn't have a professional role in the mysteries, but, like, that is his role, is that he, if he's not there, House is just going to have so many cases where he just never puts it together, yeah. Because really, Wilson, conductor of lights, his way through half of that series.
That's his job, yeah. Well, there was a little moment in that episode where House is like, I need you to find me the best oncologist you got. And then Wilson shows up, which was also a kind of a Watsonian thing to do. It's like, I'm vaguely insulted, but here I am.
That moment really epitomizes the show as well, because you have the whole episode of House going back and forth with his fellows, trying to cross off diseases that this kid could possibly be suffering from and coming up with nothing. And then having that moment of the light bulb being switched on. Just, I was like, yes, this is what House is. This is what I think of it in my, like, cultural osmosis that I have engaged in over the past, like, I don't know, like 15 years. I was like, this is what the show is, specifically this moment.
Yeah. That episode also has a great moment for their, that I think shows, like, how much like in the original series and then, like, every adaptation, when Wilson is, like, not good at detective work at all. Watson is not good at detective work at all. And yet every time they go to a crime scene, a detective will say something like, reasonable, but, like, not that thought out. And Holmes will be like, Watson, check out this idiot. Like, they're the two smartest people in the world. And that is something that is so dear and precious to me about the Sherlock Holmes canon, is that Watson, just by being this guy's best friend, gets excluded from how bad everyone else is at the job. And not that Wilson is bad at the job by any means, but there is a moment where Wilson pitches a diagnosis and it doesn't make sense because it's literally never happened before, but House just goes, can anyone think of a reason why that couldn't be true? And then he just goes, nice. Even though everyone else has been pitching things that are possible, and he's like, you fucking moron. This delighted me that, like, they really carried over that thing.
Yeah.
You know, in House's mind, Wilson probably is right about everything all the time.
And I think, like, that I know that you're really not right, but I'm just happy you're here. Like,
yeah. Everyone shut up, the special boy is talking.
Let me hype up my lame boyfriend.
Yeah.
Wow, here he comes. He's wrong.
Before we move on about this from this episode, I also wanted to mention two little things that I noticed. One is, like, a sort of general comment that Hugh Laurie really does strong vocal fry in his American accent, which I was like, yeah, girl. That's not really, like, a substantive comment.
No, that's just, like, hot girl shit.
He's very vocal fry in this entire episode.
Because he doesn't sound like that when he talks with a British accent.
No, not at all. And then the other thing is that Wilson wears nail polish on his toes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I just enjoyed. So, small little detail. That House knows about, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They are living together during that episode.
Yeah, can we talk a little bit about episode 15? I know Marissa didn't watch it, but I watched it, which is the episode
That
Wilson has gone through a divorce and he moves into House's apartment. And it's just, like, the best, like, odd couple, married couple fighting stuff that you see on television. It's so Beatty. but I can't say
this is what I love to hear.
No, one was fading like House MD. I'll say it again. I've said it before. They invented it. Spoiler for the entire series. The end of that show is them riding off into the sunset together after House fakes his death so that he and Wilson can be together.
Ooh,
and that's how far they push it. And it's like, but you won't let them, like, I don't know, hold hands or something? No, that would be too much. But House couldn't give up his medical license to spend time with Wilson. Okay.
Wow.
That's so interesting, though, too, before we go back to 215, because that tells you how people are interpreting what's going on with Reichenbach, you know, and like with the relationship dynamics. Clearly in the canon, like translating that into a modern sensibility is sort of like saying, no, these two men end up together, and that's what is happening in the canon, but we have to sort of transpose it into early 20th century, like, you know, there's something going on here, but we won't label it.
Yeah, just really great friends.
They're really good friends, really, and really good roommates. Friends.
Golf partners.
Such good friends and roommates, yes. Yes, so in the episode you were talking about, Sarah, it's called, the title is Clueless, and it is, in fact, a murder mystery, which is very rare for a House
episode. Yeah, it was also a really good episode. I really enjoyed watching it.
But yeah, House and Wilson lived together briefly in season 2, and then through most of season 6.
Okay.
And so these are things that they don't need to do as two doctors who could absolutely afford their own place.
And that's kind of a running theme, at least in this episode I watched, where he's like, why are you sleeping on my couch? Like, you can afford to live somewhere else. What's the problem?
Yeah. And then when Wilson tries to do that, House sabotages it.
Yeah.
Secretly does not want Wilson to leave. Wants Wilson really to continue funny. Making him pancakes.
Mm-hmm. And stuffed peppers. And a salad, which he steals out of the fridge.
Oh, yeah, that's a big part of the show. Every time they get lunch together, House just eats off of Wilson's plate, which is, again, you can afford your own food.
Couple shit.
A lot.
It's almost like the opposite of Watson trying to get Holmes to eat, is that Wilson is always having to protect his food from House.
Cute.
But he will also bring along an extra spoon or cut his sandwich in half and just be it's like
making me do this.
Yeah, it's I leave out my cat is a water bowl, but she also has a water cup because she likes to feel like she's stealing it. I think it's like that, where it's like, yeah, you know, I'll just go get a really big sandwich and I'll cut it in half, and then, oh no, I hope no one takes it.
But if it did, I hope you know that I put vegetables in it, because I know you don't eat lettuce.
Yeah.
Weird. Lots to unpack there.
Yeah.
So much to unpack there. Oh, yeah. Another thing I'd like to touch on. House has the drug addiction thing that Holmes has.
Yeah, we should get into that.
And they combine that with Watson's war wound, where House has... it is his thigh, but it is due to he wasn't shot in his leg. He, an infraction, that was basically a blood clot causing muscle death in his thigh. And they caught it too late and they cut out part of it. And there is a very, very good episode called Three Stories about flashing back to this happening and sort of how he wanted a very dangerous treatment. And they wanted to amputate, and they ended up kind of doing this compromise when he was in a medically induced coma. And as a result, he has chronic pain, and that is why he takes drugs, but then also he eventually gets clean. And then he eventually loses his sobriety, which is a thing that the show just kind of lets happen. And everyone's like, oh, I guess this is happening. Okay, even though he has proven that he can live without the drugs for you.
Interesting. Yeah.
Definitely a stepping, very different than the elementary approach, which elementary takes the addiction much more seriously.
I was going to ask if
House makes a real joke about it.
Yeah, if it felt it was handled with weight or not.
There are many times when it is handled with weight, and I do also think, like, especially given, you know, the of its timeness of it. And sure. I think that we as a society have started taking addiction much more seriously and destigmatizing it. I think that it is on some level a realistic depiction of like I think lots of us have known someone, you know, who we drank with socially or whatever, or like smoked socially. And it's all fun and games until you hit a point where you're like, that yeah. actually isn't fun anymore. And I think that that is on some level realistic. It's not like everyone goes around seeing somebody take painkillers or drink alcohol or smoke weed and like is like, oh no, like it takes mm-hmm. a while for you to be like, this is something when I should intervene. That
yeah,
I absolutely. Think that it is realistic in that depiction, but also I think that definitely Elementary shows a real cultural shift, and then mm-hmm. especially in Holmes adaptations.
Well, and to your point that it seemed like some writers move from one show to the other, and there are obviously some thematic influences. I wonder if there was like a you know, time goes by, and here's an opportunity to explore that with a little bit more
like reconvene
emotional
and reassess.
Underpinning.
Yeah. Yeah, how that's handled.
Because I do think Elementary really does it remarkably well in a way that mm-hmm. a lot of other television shows don't.
I think House also just, I think, in addition to his Vicodin use, and then he does other drugs, but those are purely recreational. Like, right. the Vicodin use is actually prescribed to him. It's very rare to see a main character with a disability or with chronic pain.
Yeah.
And I think that House was definitely an outlier in that respect. And especially, you know, having a disabled character who's like the cool guy mm-hmm. and who really doesn't ever... He's never a lesson to anybody in any way. Yeah, I think a really interesting choice. And it is interesting also that they kind of took that from Watson and
yeah that is
moved that over.
Yeah. Well, obviously, in Watson, the character on the page, it's so background.
Mm-hmm. Right, no. Yeah. Like, we have no idea if Watson on the page has chronic pain or even a limp or anything.
Yeah, and his wound itself. Migrates. Or maybe he's got two, who knows?
Yeah. House and Wilson, Holmes Watson similarities.
Great.
House and Holmes both fake their death.
A necessary part of any Holmes adaptation.
And then unrelated to that, they both fake terminal illnesses for attention.
Oh my god.
There's an episode where House fakes brain cancer so that he can do a new treatment where they just sort of put drugs directly in your brain, and he like tries not to tell anyone, and everyone finds out, and they like treat him differently, and then they cure him, and he gets really pissed about it. House is a bad person. That is the main headline of this. Is House and Wilson are very bad people who love each other a lot.
One of my favorite dynamics.
Well, actually, you know, if we can like pause for a second and dig yes. into that a little bit more, because I'd like to talk about the differences and not just the similarities between House and Holmes, because, you know, a very popular method of adapting Holmes is this sort of like God complex, genius asshole who treats everyone else terribly around him because he's smarter than, you know, all the other characters. And I'm wondering if you feel that House has nuance to that, or if it was an early version of this that has since sort of been extrapolated and augmented in other adaptations, or if you see, you know, some actual like consideration being taken into like how Holmes is in the canon and translating that into House.
In terms of differences, like I said, House has a disability, he's in chronic pain, and that definitely is something that the show makes a point really affects, you know, the way that he interacts with the world and other people. Mm-hmm. In the show, unfortunately, House is attracted to women, which is not in the canon. It's never mentioned in the canon. It never comes up in the canon. I cannot stress this enough. If there's an adaptation where Holmes is attracted to women, that is fan fiction. That is an adaptation choice that is made up. It's not in the books.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only not in the books, it's expressly contradicted in the stories. Yeah.
Well, whatever the alternative is in your mind to women, that's an interpretation, but having him attracted to women is in mm-hmm. itself just not right. contradictory to canon. House kind of actively pushes people away in a way that Holmes is kind of just generally indifferent. You know, Holmes isn't mm-hmm. like sabotaging mm-hmm. his relationship with Mrs. Hudson. He's just like distant. Friendly to her and not getting yes. that close. Yeah. Holmes has a brother. House doesn't. I learned listening to this podcast that apparently there was talks with Stephen Fry to play his brother, which
I know. What a
breaks
loss.
My heart.
Great.
That does make me feel a bit better because I spent years being like, Stephen Fry is on Bones, so he would be on a house. It would be on a Fox procedural. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they calling him for this? So I'm glad that that was at least brought up.
To provide some closure for you.
And at least we did get Stephen Fry as Mycroft at some point.
This series is from his point of view, which I think is in itself like a huge shift in your perception of the character. House is famously not clean shaven. You know, he's got the stubble pretty much the whole series, and he always looks unkempt, which is very different than Holmes.
His apartment's a mess and stuff.
I guess Holmes's apartment is a mess, but Holmes at least always looks good. Something that I like about the original stories is I think that Sherlock Holmes is a terrible doctor. He's always confidently telling Watson things about the human body or medicine that are just not true. He's always like, no, if I eat, it'll go take blood out of my brain.
Right.
And you don't need sleep. And if you don't eat for 3 days, you should immediately have a glass of wine. And
I have too many facts in my brain, then other facts will go away.
Yeah. And in a few decades, everyone's going to be some sort of fury hybrid. And it's he's so wrong about medicine. And that's, of course, the opposite of House. And then House also loves trash TV. He's obsessed with soap operas and teen dramas and monster trucks, and there's even an episode where you find out that he's obsessed with a YA mystery series. Holmes famously won't reveal a plan until he's sure it's right, but a doctor can't do that. A doctor has to explain to somebody why he's doing a medical procedure or handing out medicine. So those are the big differences, but I think that there are a lot of similarities. House really does believe that he can teach his method, and you see that so much in the show with his employees. They do learn how to think from him, and a lot of that becomes about them picking up his cynicism. But
interesting,
they also become better doctors, and it is something that he can teach. They're both drama queens. They're so dramatic. They love to put on a show.
You can't have a Sherlock Holmes adaptation without that.
I think that they both have a real hatred of pretension and the hypocrisy of people in power. I think that that is kind of a really fundamental thing about both characters, is they really don't like someone pushing their weight around to make the world a little worse.
Do you feel that House's character shifts over the series at all, or do you think it stays pretty fundamentally the same?
I think we learn more about him. I think it's kind of a peeling back layers.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
He definitely grows closer with people throughout the show. You know, in season one, they make a real point that he's like really, really, really isolated. And in season seven, he has a romantic relationship with Lisa Cuddy that he just wouldn't have been able to do earlier in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And there, when they break up, that's a real setback for him emotionally. And then, you know, also he makes life very difficult for her, and he's at fault there, but yeah, he actually seeks psychiatric treatment, which is something. He goes to therapy, he gets sober, and like he backslides a lot, but he's tries to change throughout the show. And in fact, like the very last episode where he fakes his death is about him. The series finale is just House in a burning building talking to a bunch of hallucinations about whether or not he should leave, which is such an incredible series finale to a medical drama. I can't believe that got approved.
I'm like kind of obsessed with this, though.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta go watch this right now.
It sure is something. Something I like about the show is it's so adaptable. It's so versatile, is more, because it's a character study and it's an ensemble. It's a comedy and it's very, very dramatic. You know, it's silly and immature, but it'll talk about really, really serious topics. It's a mystery. It's a medical drama. It's so many different things over so long. And I think that that's part of why, even though it has such a clear formula, The formula is the same. A patient gets introduced, they try a bunch of stuff, and then at the end they figure it out. But like, I think that that's why it lasted for so long, is because it wasn't a show that got stuck having one voice or one vibe or one thing. And I think that's really cool, especially for something that is so, it's literally in one location with the same people for 8 years.
Right. Well, I really like to, you know, going back onto that idea of the formula, I think that is what Sherlock Holmes is. It's a formula. Yeah. If that's exactly what happens when you're reading the stories. And I've said this often of Elementary, but criticisms of the show or of House as a Holmesian adaptation, because they are like network TV dramas, don't hold water, because that is literally what the canon is. It's just like a serialized formula that we plug in different mysteries, different characters, different facts and figures, but it is essentially just Holmes with his pal investigating a mystery. And that is what people want to dig into every week. Yes. And it's very satisfying when you have that, when you know, like, every week I'm gonna have a new weird little case and also get a side dish of some, like, interpersonal drama and growth. Like, that's why you tune in for Elementary, that's why you tune in for House, because you like the characters, because you probably enjoy the premise, but also because you want to get those little, like, side bits as well.
Absolutely. So
it's very Victorian in that way. You know, it's like serialized TV is just an extension of, you know, syndicated short stories in the 19th century.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I usually, because House is sort of the more recent thing, I usually actually have to do the reverse to hype up the Holmes stories, where I'm like, it's basically like a USA procedural, like just go into it like you're watching Psych.
Talking about other
Psych
things.
Psych 2 is kind of like a...
We've
had people say, you know, the two guys from Psych are very much a Holmes and Watson.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is another example of... It drives me crazy that adaptations do this. I feel like they're always giving Watson's cool guy stuff to Holmes, because they're like, Holmes is the one I relate to, because I'm a genius, so he also has to be the cool one. And it's like, except that the smart one is just a nerdy little theater guy. And if you want someone, you know, riding a motorcycle or doing shots, that's probably Watson.
Yeah, Watson's the
job. Yeah, House on the motorcycle. I'm like, Holmes wouldn't be doing that. He might ride in a sidecar, though.
Exactly, exactly.
Arms around Watson from the back. Very serious, like, with like ready to go.
Goggles.
Yeah.
Wilson literally wears a pocket protector, and that's just who he is as a person. And it's like, okay, this is not the Watson I know and love.
Kind of relate, though. When he's like hiring a maid to organize House's closet and making stuffed peppers, I'm like, yeah, I get you. I understand you.
But they knew what they were doing when they hired Robert Sean Leonard in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were doing.
I think this whole cast...
beautiful.
Granted, I am biased, but I'm watching the show and I'm like, okay, I would like to take Hugh Laurie and Robert Sean Leonard and Lisa Edelstein and put them in a period piece Holmes adaptation as Holmes and Watson and Irene Adler. This is really my point that I want people to get across, is that Lisa Edelstein should play Irene Adler.
She's perfect. She really would be a fantastic Irene, I think.
Totally absent of what she's doing in House. I just think
I really liked in the one episode that I did watch, that it seems that House and Cuddy are really on an equal playing field when it comes to intelligence. Like, I know House has a sort of like genius quality about him, but it really does seem that Cuddy is his intellectual equal, or at least on a similar footing to him, and has got, as you said, I think, Sarah, more authority than
She runs the whole hospital, actually. She's the dean of medicine. So he needs to get everything passed through her. And of course, as a result, like, there's a lot of him, you know, undermining her because he needs something done and it would be illegal or whatever, laws. That is another huge similarity between House and Sherlock Holmes, is that they're like, laws only apply if I feel like it. it's actually, this, I don't think comes up in the episodes that I recommended. Actually, it doesn't come up in any of them. A running thing in House MD is that House believes all the patients lie, so he makes his doctors break into their homes to see if there's anything at home, cause it like environmental factors, or if they're hiding drugs or whatever. Wow. And that's very Sherlock Holmes. Uh-huh. I'm just going to break in. We'll just break in. I can't. There's just so much to discuss with all these episodes. I think that that's actually one of the fundamental differences between House and Sherlock Holmes is House MD has like this tagline that's sort of like the motto, which is everybody lies, where House always thinks that a patient is lying. And then in most episodes, it will actually turn out that the patient has been hiding some secret. And, you know, they got infected at their second job that they're not telling their wife about, or they got infected during their affair, mm-hmm. or they got some disease when they was somewhere and they left the country, but they can't tell their doctors they left the country because their wife doesn't. It's or everyone has some sort of secret episode, killing them. Yeah.
The wife was poisoning the husband with gold exactly. or whatever.
I mean, yeah, that's a hell of a secret, just directly poisoning somebody. Yeah. Kind of the only way that the Sherlock Holmes stories work is that when a client comes to Baker Street and is like, here's what happened. In order for the clues to make sense, they are telling the truth. and in fact, Holmes is usually the only one who does believe someone when something extraordinary happens, which is
that's true.
Very, very opposites in that regard.
So what I'm sort of getting,
yes,
as a like comprehensive approach to House is that it should be included in the pantheon of Holmesian adaptations, not only on its own merit as like a show that very much is deeply invested and influenced by the Holmesian canon, but that future like post-House adaptations wouldn't exist without House.
I don't think they would exist in the way that they do, okay. For sure.
Yeah. Do you sure? There would be, like, other Sherlock Holmes adaptations, but, like, the adaptations that we do have are very much influenced by House.
BBC Sherlock, don't think you would get that, a version of Sherlock Holmes where he had so many, like, zingers if it wasn't for House, because he's not in the canon, not a zingers guy.
Yeah, it's like the House to the, or I don't even know chronologically how this works, but say like House to CSI to Sherlock pipeline.
Yeah. I will say if you like BBC Sherlock, you will definitely like House. House and Wilson have actually, I've mentioned how great they work together. And that, you know, there's not this path. They have such a fucked up relationship. They do such terrible things to each other. It is a running bit throughout the show to the point that they're both fine with this, which is in itself deranged. It's strange that it happens and it's strange that they're fine with it. But they will often, if they just need to get the other out of a situation, just drug them. Just deranged.
They are doctors.
They're doctors and they have access to it. By season 8, Wilson even is like, hey, we're going to take a road trip. And House is like, absolutely not. And Wilson's like, here's what's going to happen is I will see you at 8 o'clock, or here are the drugs I'll give you. Season 3 has a whole plot line where House gets investigated for trafficking drugs, which he isn't, but he pissed off a cop. House MD is the only ACAB adaptation of Sherlock Holmes, which I think cool. is worth mentioning.
Great.
He actively hates cops.
Hell yeah.
They lie to the police constantly. Wilson newly ends up getting arrested and they both have to like turn on each other to get out of jail. House accidentally kills Wilson's girlfriend. It's so many things.
Whoa, that's all up.
Season 4. We haven't even talked about season 4. They lie to each other. They steal from
each
other.
We're an hour in, Sarah. What?
You just got around to them.
Sidebar. Okay. In season 4, I know I mentioned Wilson's wives, but I think that the actual Mary Morstan adaptation is this character named Amber Velakis, who is affectionately termed on the show as Cutthroat Bitch because she is originally brought on as a potential hire for House. And she is constantly sabotaging other potential hires so that she can get this job. It's a rough name, but it's honestly earned. And the show makes a point that she is exactly like House in every way. Basically, people not liking her is not fair because she is exactly like House. And then Wilson starts dating her because she is exactly like House. And then there's an entire episode where House has a whole existential crisis about this and tries to break them up by being like, no, she's not like me. It's because she's needy, because she's mean, because she's manipulative. And everyone's like, I don't know what you're talking. This is exactly what you're like.
You're listing this all of your traits literally right you. Now.
Then there's like a few episodes where Wilson and Amber are dating and it's going well, and there are some fun plot lines that are very Holmes, Watson, Mary, where like House they like negotiate like custody thing where like they assign days that Wilson will hang out with House and days Wilson will hang out with Amber. House goes to a bar, he calls Wilson to pick him up, Amber shows up instead. And then they, on the way home, the bus they're on gets hit by a truck. And then House ends up in the hospital. These are great episodes. The season two-part finale of season four, House's okay. Head, Wilson's Heart, where the first episode, House...
Is that what it's called?
Yes. House has a concussion because of the bus crash. So he shows up in the hospital and he remembers that he saw something that means that someone in the accident is going to die, but he doesn't remember what, and he has to keep going into his own brain, and they do hypnosis, and he goes into an isolation chamber and he does all these fancy drugs to try to figure it out. And then at the end of the episode, he realizes it was Amber. And then the next episode is about him trying to remember what he saw so that they can figure out what Amber has so that they can wake her up. It was already too late. It was already too damn late.
Of course it was.
This is a lot.
It's a lot. They go through, it's a crazy show.
You know what though? I respect that.
There's absolutely nothing the show doesn't do. Pretty much anything can happen in the world of House.
Well, okay. So the thing, I was talking to my partner about the House and Holmes connections before we recorded this. And his question is like, is there ever an episode where they're like flashing back to being in the 1800s? And I was like, I don't think so.
No, I think that was a real missed opportunity. Because I think they could have done it.
And I feel absolutely like that's the sort of thing that TV at the time did a lot. So.
And they do a lot of episodes House's brain. Oh, yeah. So all of that was to say that there are, House and Wilson do so much damage to each other, and House sabotages all of Wilson's relationships, and Wilson is always trying to manipulate House into being a better person, which is never going to work. The reason why it works on House MD is because there are 22 episodes, and so you see all that messed up codependency interspersed with like most of the episodes where they're friends who get along.
Yeah.
And I feel like BBC Sherlock was trying to immediately get to that kind of like really unhealthy codependent relationship without like the backbone of like sometimes they just get coffee together. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that it is a show told from the Holmes point of view instead of the Watson point of view.
That's and definitely worth
something I like about Wilson, who is one of my favorite characters of all time, is that he loves to lie. He loves to lie, which is so Watsonian, because he also like as soon as he's caught in a lie, he actually becomes a terrible liar. Like he's always like I don't know, but he's always so confident about it while he's lying. And there are many scenes when if somebody else talks to him about House, he's like, fantastic, an opportunity to make something up for no reason. The Watsonian impulse to just make stuff up about Holmes. I think a clever thing that they do with that is also that, like, while he doesn't write stories, he's very, very good at sort of making sense of things to people. House says that he has a silver tongue, and anytime House needs a patient to sign off on, you know, get consent for some really ridiculous procedure, he will just have Wilson do that, which is how House gets around the fact that nobody likes him, is he just sends in this guy with kind eyes to nicely like explain
gentle,
things.
Gentle, likable man.
Where he has to give Watson $10 every time someone says thank you when Wilson tells someone that they're going to die. Because he's gotten that good at explaining that situation to people that sometimes they even thank him for doing it. And I think that that's, well, Watson in the books does not have that kind of bedside manner, and he is very hot-headed. I think that that really speaks to sort of the storyteller aspect of it.
No, mm-hmm. I buy it. I think what I'm getting from this is that Wilson is actually a really good Watson adaptation.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite Watsons for sure.
I'm delighted by that.
He's got that thing that Watson has, which is he's the most fucked up person in the world, but he just doesn't talk about it, so you don't notice.
That he's normal.
I was going to say, he looks so affable and nice and successful, and then you look under the lid and you're like, what on earth is wrong with you? Oh my
that
God.
Is, okay. That is
That's
exactly
pure Watson.
It.
And I love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always such a delight when he has a scene with someone who was in house and you're like, oh, you don't make any sense.
Yeah, like, there are problems with you also. It's both of you. That's the key to a Holmes adaptation for me, is realizing that Watson also is bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
He's just better at disguising it.
Complement each other perfectly.
Yeah.
House is always doing these weird bits, and he'll like go into a situation, he'll walk into Wilson's office, he'll start doing some ridiculous bit, and Wilson will just immediately play along like it's nothing.
Delightful. But yeah, are there any closing thoughts about House MD that we have not touched on that you want to make sure that we get on the podcast before we call it good?
I do want to briefly talk about Dr. Remy Hadley, aka 13, played by Olivia Wilde.
Okay, thank
who
you.
Who I believe is House the only Holmes adaptation that has canonically queer. She's bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Canonically queer lead character. I guess there's the irregulars, but I think that legally that shouldn't count because it's bad. I think if it's bad, it doesn't count.
That's another conversation. We'll invite you back and we can talk about that another time.
Which is shocking to me.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, the only, and this is not a lead character whatsoever, but the only other character I can think of would be Miss Hudson from Elementary.
Right, which is mostly notable because she's an iconic character.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed
but she's
to, like,
very background.
But yeah, 13 is in like 77 episodes. She's
wow.
For her.
She's in seasons 4, 5, and then parts of 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
Because Olivia Wilde gets famous. Yeah. Right. So it feels like she's not in that much percentage wise, but she's in like 40% of episodes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's very, very of its time. Like, one, they could not have gotten a more traditionally attractive, thin, white woman to play her. But also, you get to look at Olivia Wilde, so it's a top. But like, in terms of queer rep, it's like, could not be less threatening to straight men to have her there. I'm asexual, so I don't want to talk about what is or is not good by representation. But I have noticed watching a lot of TV that like nowadays representation is kind of like, we'll just say it, and then it like, we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to define the character. And House, because he's a very just oafish character, likes to constantly bring it up in a way that like I can see being annoying, but is also like, with my 2022 eyes, almost refreshing that it's like, yeah, the show isn't going to let you forget that there's a queer lead. They're going to, she's treating a patient, and the show's going to be like, by the way, diversity win. The doctor who just cut out your eye is bisexual.
Yeah, well, people listening will have to weigh in on how they feel, because I have not watched enough of the show to say either way, but I'm sure there are people out there with opinions.
Yeah, I doubt it's good rep, but it was definitely,
I mean, good rep is
notable. It was notable at the day, you know, she was a lead character, one of the most popular watch shows at the time, especially like globally.
Well, and I think too, if like I had been watching it at that time period, that would have meant a lot to me, you know, like to actually have a queer character, a bisexual character on screen that's like maybe sometimes treated with jokes, but not as a joke, would be pretty important.
13 is a great character. She's called 13 because in season 4, House hires a bunch of people and sort of whittles them down. And she never gives her name. She just goes by the number she has because she doesn't want to get attached. And she's like this cool, detached person. And it's fun because House is also this cool, detached person. And she kind of, she kind of forces his hand where suddenly like he has to work to get to know her instead of the reverse. And so he's always like, they become friends because they are both very reckless, and she has Huntington's disease, which means that she only has about 10, 12 more years to live, and it makes her act a lot like House because House has this with his leg. He also does a lot of risky behavior because he thinks that he's not going to be around that long, and they have a really interesting, unique dynamic, especially early in the show. House has one of his employees, Cameron. She falls in love with him, and the show like tries to make that happen, and it never really works. And they don't, they go on one date under duress. But because they'd sort of gone to that well, it was really refreshing to see, you know, an older man have this mentor this younger woman without there being any kind of romantic aspect to it, and having them be learning to understand each other, and both such prickly people.
That is always one of my favorite things in any Holmesian adaptation or pastiche, is when Holmes really like relates to women. I'm like, yes, more of that. Because I think there's something there innately about like Holmes and his position in society relating to women and their position in society that is really compelling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that that's something that annoys me so much about like cool guy Holmes adaptations is like, I think it implies this comfort with masculinity that I do not see in the original books.
That's a really good way to put it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think that House is a very complicated show, and I definitely do, I love it. I want to hype it up. Definitely. It has very, very of its time jokes.
Of course.
I think you could handle, you know, if you're someone who would comfortably rewatch 30 Rock or Friends, you know, even Always Sunny or any kind of like edgy humor, then that would, it'll be fine. But like, as a heads up, if anyone's going to start watching House, a lot of queer jokes, a lot of transphobic jokes for no fucking reason. There never is a reason, but like, they're not even in, there's not even a trans person. They're just, they get tossed out there. Racist jokes, et cetera, et cetera. And they're always like, from the perspective of the early 2000s of like, we're past this, right? We can sit. And it's, I'm glad we've moved away from that. That is a part of the series, unfortunately. Not necessarily worse than other shows, but something I would want to, I wouldn't want to give a blanket approval of it. But I think the show is still definitely revisiting. I think it has a lot of interesting things to say about the search for truth. You know, like House is a show that is based off of this idea that the thing that matters most is the idea, is it doesn't matter where the source of this comes from. If an idea is right, it's right. There's value to the truth, there's value to honesty, there's value in doing something, even if it'll make people uncomfortable, if it's the right thing to do, if it's true. And House has this quote that I really love, where he's giving a lecture to med students, and he says, like, despite what you've been told, right and wrong do exist. Like, you might never know the right answer. It might not even be possible to ever know the right answer, but there is always a right answer. And that's like so brutal, but also weirdly kind of comforting in a fun little world to live in, of like, there is something true.
That really speaks to like late Victorian rationality and its use of like enlightenment ideals and the romanticism period of like ideas of like, you know, there is beauty and there is truth and there is like, you know, there are these ideals that we can capture, and even though they may be elusive, we can like strive towards them. So there's still something very like Victorian about that to me.
I like that. It's almost this old-fashioned idea that House has of just like, no, none of this 20th century ambiguity. Like, there is a right answer.
Yeah, no postmodernism.
No postmodernism. That's the House MD guarantee.
I will say, so in episode 15 of season 2, which is, it really does feel like a murder mystery, just to like wrap up this whole thing. Mm-hmm, they, yes. There is this moment where the two characters are going back and forth, and one of his assistants goes, "We've eliminated every other possibility." Yes. And he goes, "We have not eliminated every other possibility." And I was really waiting for him to say the name of the show.
We get it so often, and I just, yeah, want to collect them.
That sentiment was there, and that made me really happy. So
thank you, Sarah, for coming on. This was so fun.
This, yeah, thank so you. Wonderful. We appreciate
this is a dream come true as wow. such a fan of the show. It's so
thank you.
So validating to have other young people care about Sherlock
Holmes.
Yes, the extent that I do.
So Sarah, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Golub. There isn't an H in Sarah. There is in Golub. Good luck figuring the rest of that out.
We'll include it in our show
notes. That's a good way to remember it. Yeah, there's one Sarah with an H and one Sarah without an H on this interview.
Yeah, there's quotas. You can listen to my mystery comedy podcast, Arden. Where on Twitter at ArdenPod. And you can just search your podcaster for Arden. We're on hiatus right now, but I have a nonfiction podcast called Historical Hookups, where I do deep dives on historical figures' dating lives.
Awesome. Have you talked about Arthur Conan Doyle?
I keep trying to, but he's very, he made a real point to live a boring life specifically, despite
because
me.
There's all this like rumor and conjecture.
His second wife convinced him that she can talk to ghosts. And I feel like if I read the Sherlock Holmes stories and then I were to try to seduce Arthur Conan Doyle, I too would pretend that I had some sort of extraordinary ability that depended on deductive reasoning and that I was thus the most special person in the world.
I appreciate her strategy.
I think no, that like, there's something to that.
he was married to his first wife and she was dying and he met the second one. And so it was like paying for the second one's lifestyle while the first one was actively dying of tuberculosis.
He knew what he was doing, but that's fair. He got away with it. I think all the time about how first Mrs. Watson died. Mm-hmm. Post his wife's tuberculosis diagnosis, but pre her death, which is, I think, something I would ask follow-up questions about.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Sarah for being on the podcast, and thanks to all of you for your patience as we put the show on pause for a couple weeks to prepare ourselves for this episode and also for what's coming next, which is we're finally diving into The Sign of Four. We'll be releasing the narration and then our two-part discussion about this behemoth of a novella in the next month or so. You can contact us on Twitter at ImprobablePod and find more information about the show on our website, however, improbablepodcast.com. If you're enjoying the show and can spare a moment, please rate and review.
However Improbable is created by Marissa Mejirio and Sarah Kolb, with apologies to Arthur Conan Doyle. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, dear listeners, believe us to be very sincerely yours.